And before I say anything else, let us pray. You, O Lord, are good, and your hand is strong. Today we ask that we might feel the touch of your embrace in this moment, that you might touch us with your hand in the deepest places of our lives. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning I want to share briefly with you, and I am a Baptist preacher, but it will be brief, from a title that I want to lift for this morning at least, and with the title is Double Trouble. Double Trouble. Here's a little sermon I wrote. I won't sing it note for note, so don't worry. Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double, don't worry. Be happy. Seems like you know it. All right, Whistlers. Yeah. Give yourselves. That went better than I thought it would. Imagine if I stopped right there and that was my entire sermon. And that may be a good idea for some sermons that we hear. Hopefully not this one, let's be clear. Short and brief is sometimes better. But if I stop there this morning, I'm sure that some of the planners of this conference may get a bit worried. At least Scott Posey would. But do not worry. That's what Jesus preached. Don't worry about today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Don't worry about your body, what you will wear. Don't worry. Jesus knows how to keep a sermon focused with one theme to drive his point home. He didn't preach three sermons in one. That's a hint for all of the preachers in the house. He focuses homiletically, do not worry. And he continues to repeat this one theme because the people continue to be anxious. He had to declare a counterpoint, a counter theme. He had to apply a sermonic balm to their wounds of worry. And I say wounds because the worries of life seem to be so deeply embedded in their lives and would not go away, would not be healed. They were open, daily, sorrowful sores because every new day opened them up to face new anxieties. Many in antiquity had little beyond the basic necessities of food, clothing, and shelter, and in rural areas in particular, to get these things many times, depending on weather conditions and the land, there appeared to be a valid reason to stress out and to wig out about life. But Jesus comes and tells them that they have little faith. Because they worry, because they put so much attention on their physical necessities, because they serve another God, the God of worry at the altar of anxiety, and suffer from theological amnesia, forgetting God the Father who knows what they need before they even ask. Or as we heard in the prayer, I'm going to borrow that, worry we think become is a spiritual gift. Jesus does not lift up a positive thinking banner of Joel Osteen and preach your best life now. Jesus preaches a strong anti-worry word and suggests that worry and anxiety are the roots of unbelief. You of little faith. Who, me? But Lord, I'm a good little Christian in my heart. But Lord, I attend the Calvin Symposium of Worship every single year. Who, me? Yes, you. Could it be? Then who? You of little faith. There are some who have taken graduate school qualifying exams in anxiety and stress, written a dissertation called Worry, Don't Be Happy, and have rightly earned a PhD in worry studies. If they go to heaven, worry is there. And if they make their bed in Sheol, worry is there. Worry is their bestest friend forever. They can't escape worry because it's a perpetual wound, and they lick that wound and actually enjoy the flavor, feeding on the nutrients of worry, yet starving the soul of these three things: faith, hope, and love. Worry is their food day and night. They get high on it. They get hungry and thirsty for it, feeding on the wonder-working power of worry. Will not add a single hour to your life, but worry will lead you to an early death. But for some that we know, the anxious storm is the norm. Feeding on worry is the spiritual diet that kills one's faith, or at least makes it little. You of little faith. Beware of these people I call worry warts, because warts, you know, can spread from one person to another. If you get too close, soon those worries will rub off on you, and I don't want you to be of little faith. Or, to use the words of poet Langston Hughes, to have that worry fester like a sore, stink like rotten meat, and sag like a heavy load on your soul. This is the weight you gain from worry when you feed on it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Why do we need to worry anyway? Today's trouble is enough for today. Isn't Jesus right? And worry just doubles the trouble. Dum, da, dum, dum. Homiletician Paul Scott Wilson says there's trouble in the Bible and trouble in the world. Dum, da, dum, dum. Never-ending partisan political debates, rising child poverty in this country, lack of educational resources in urban and rural areas, dum, da, dum, dum. Insane gun violence on the streets, perpetual civil wars in the world, unexplainable natural disasters, trouble on every hand, dum, da, dum, dum. Open heart surgeries and children with cancer and teenagers locked up in prison. Trouble on every hand. Dum, da, dum, dum. Jesus is right again, isn't he? Today's trouble is enough for today. Why do we worry today about tomorrow? Do not worry doesn't mean that we are to sit passively by and with our hands folded, neither to toil nor spin and relax in the lazy boy chair for Jesus. But it does mean that we are not to fret and fear and be fanatically frantic, because God is our Father, our Abba, our heavenly Daddy, a God unlike earthly absentee fathers, because God is a God who is with us, always present, always near. God is not just any father. Let me say something about God for a little bit. God is the one who, out of love, painted creation on the canvas of the universe. God is the one who, out of love, redeemed us through a salvific, covert operation that might be called the crucified incarnation. God is the one who, out of love, sustains us with the breath of his spirit, a Trinitarian treat of love for all to digest at communion tables everywhere. Why worry when we have received this Eucharistic gift, your life and body, from God? You can't serve two masters. The God of worry and the God who provides everything you need. You can't worship a bipolar God when one day God is right and the next day God is to the left. One day God is up and the next day God is down, and one day God is doing the funky chicken, and the next day God is doing the electric slide, and one day God is for Karl Barth, and the next day God is for Rudolf Bultmann. God the Father is rock steady, consistent, not fickle like the wind. God is one and cannot be parceled into pieces. No, there are not two masters. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God takes care of the singing birds of the air and the swaying lilies in the field and clothes the grass in the finest of green vestments, then how much more does God care for you? Are you not of more value than they? You? God knows what you need before you even ask. And I'm not talking about a bigger house or a bigger car or a bigger bank account or asking for that special parking spot by the front entrance of your favorite department store or asking for a win against the other football team in a playoff game. Those are trivial wants, not needs. But God knows our needs before we even ask. God knows them right now. Your needs this morning. And your worries may be big, but God is bigger. Why worry when God knows before we know? Why worry when God was before was? Don't worry about tomorrow, because our tomorrow is God's yesterday. The spiritual says that God's so high you can't get over him, and so low you can't get under him, and so wide you can't get around him, so deep you can't figure him out. There's no room for little faith in the presence of this big God who knows our every need. In other words, Jesus says, don't worry, I got your back. When I was in high school in Miami, Florida, my neighborhood friends and I loved playing street football almost every day and on the weekends. We loved to dream dreams and have visions of scoring that game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. This was my life before I got real serious and went to seminary. But one particular afternoon, this other neighborhood football team, a few blocks away, challenged our team to a game, and you know, we were cocky. We always liked a challenge. And so we decided to play the game on their turf. And in hindsight, maybe that's where the trouble began. But we showed up at their home field and began to play a passionate game of football as teenagers could, showing our swag with our fancy football moves. And as the game transpired, it seemed as if this football game was soon becoming a spin-off of the World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE. I don't know if you know that. But some of the other team's players began to become really unchristian and take cheap shots as they tackled and attempted clotheslines, as long passes, bombs were being thrown in this so-called game. And as the game grew more serious and intense, it was becoming evident that we were going to win. Of course. And I remember one of my friends saying to me, "Oh, I got your back, Luke. I got your back." And those were words that were supposed to mean that he was watching out for me. Well, when the game ended and we clearly won, as we thought, that was no surprise. After we gave congratulatory high fives and did our victory dance and began to walk away, let's just say WWE continued, because as we were leaving, I and another friend were chosen to physically receive the frustration of the losing team with the laying on of hands, while my friend who said, "I got your back," took off like a thief in the night through the school. I still see him running. But God does not run away from you or your trouble. God runs to you into the troublesome territory of humanity. "Don't worry, I got your back." And when God says, "I got your back," God means it literally, because he was born in human form and received a bloody laying on of hands on his very own back. I got your back. Jesus has our back, because God came to be with us. And Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us. God knows what you need before you even ask. And God doesn't just have our back, let me be clear, but God has our head and shoulders, knees and toes. God has got all of us in his hands. God's got your food and drink and clothing and life and body in his hands. The last few days of an image, a story from my life history has been blaring in my ears. And it is about my wife, Gail, who I've known since we were 7 years old. And so I grew up with her. But Gail, you have to know, was growing up in Miami, Florida, was held up by gunpoint two different times. One particular time, her and her brother David pulled up on one dark night into their driveway, and they had no idea that they were followed. And as they pulled up in the driveway, some guys rushed towards their vehicle and grabbed her brother, younger brother David, and told him to run into the house. And as he ran into the house, his mom, who's now my mother-in-law, opened the door, and he pushed her down and closed the door while Gail was left in the vehicle. And at that moment, obviously you don't know what's going to happen, but the young man who I guess was in charge looked at the other guy who was on the driver's side where she was and gave a look and basically gave the signal to let her go. And as they let her go, they stole the car and they told her, "Run, run, run." And so she ran into the door, and as they were opening the door, her mom, she pushed them out of the way and fell to the ground right in front of their house inside. And as they were figuring out what really just happened, Gail found something in her hands, a little bottle of anointing oil, a sign of God's presence. that God had her back, that God had her life, her body. Worry doubles the trouble, but God's are gonna trouble the water in your life and trouble your trouble. So do not worry. Jesus preached it, and coming off this past weekend, I hear in his last speech, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. revealed that he understood it. As he closed in his final speech, we as a people will get to the promised land. And so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Trouble was on every hand. Doom, doom, doom. But Dr. King finishes his speech, and as he does so, it's as if the worrisome trouble rolls off his breast and joins the melodious birds of the air. Do not worry. God's got your back. Let us pray. Many things about tomorrow, O Lord, we don't seem to understand. But this we declare, we know you hold tomorrow, and we know that you hold our hand. This is our prayer in confidence. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.